time for the business news with Giles Beckford. Giles, the market got the cut, but they're still not happy. What's going on?
Well, can you ever please markets?
Doesn't seem that way.
Adam Murray, thank you, Coram. Yes, in the business news this morning, the Federal Reserve delivers another rate cut, but some mixed signals keep the markets on edge, making the fishing sector stronger. And I'll bring you the latest from the money markets. Well, the United States Federal Reserve has gone ahead and cut interest rates for the second time in as many months, and it signalled the likelihood of a possible third cut by the end of the year. The 25 basis point fall takes its benchmark overnight lending rate to a range of 1.75 to 2%. It was a split decision, 7 backing the quarter percentage point cut, 2 wanted to keep rates steady, and 1 member wanted a half percentage point cut. Well, the reduction was prompted by what the chair, Jerome Powell, says was justified by the need to keep the US economy strong and as insurance against future weakness.
Today's decision to lower the federal funds rate target by a quarter percent to 1.75% to 2% is appropriate in light of the global developments I mentioned, as well as muted inflation pressures. Since our last meeting, we've seen additional signs of weakness abroad and a resurgence of trade policy tensions, including the imposition of additional tariffs. The Fed has no role in the formulation of trade policy, but we do take into account anything that could materially affect the economy relative to our employment and inflation goals. The future course of monetary policy will depend on how the economy evolves and what developments imply for the economic outlook and risks to the outlook. We've often said that policy is not on a preset course, and that is certainly the case today.
That's the chair of the U.S. Federal Reserve, Jay Powell, talking at a news conference just a short time ago. Of course, our own Reserve Bank has an official cash rate review next week, I think it is. At this stage, opinion seems to favour no change, although the broader view is that there will be at least one more, probably by November. Well, the Australian non-bank lender company MaxCap plans to fill what it sees as a gap in the local market as banks shy away from lending to commercial property developers. The company's just launched here. It's a joint venture between the real estate firm Bayleys and the investment firm and broking house Forsyth Barr. Chief Investment Officer Bray Sokolsky is currently scouting the local market along with a group of Australian property developers. He says there's little non-bank lending competition in this country, and he thinks the opportunity for it is growing by the minute.
I feel there is a significant gap at the moment, and that gap is growing. The non-bank lending sector is incredibly active and strong in Australia, and most of lending to sort of large-scale development is non-banks in Australia, whereas here the banks are still the predominant player in that arena. But we certainly feel that that will change dramatically over the next few years and want to be at the forefront.
What do you think is going to cause that to change in the New Zealand market?
Well, I feel that obviously the regulator is a massive factor in that. So whilst the banks will want to continue to lend, you know, the level of current exposure they have to real estate is going to be under severe scrutiny. And I think also developers are looking for more lateral and commercial solutions to enable them to get moving and start projects, as opposed to being limited by traditional bank policies around needing a certain level of or high level of pre-sale.
Is there not a risk, though, associated with making the commercial property sector more heavily leveraged and fueling a possible commercial property crash?
Yeah, we're not talking about aggressive leverage, Madison. We only lend to where banks have traditionally gone to with regards to our loan-to-value ratio. So, you know, we're talking about lending up to 65% of an asset value. We're not talking about anything ridiculous.
That's MaxCap's Chief Investment Officer, Bray Sokolsky, talking to Madison Reading. Well, seafood and aquaculture firms can expect more government support as part of a plan to create a $3 billion industry. Strategy for the sector focuses on developing open ocean and land-based farming, improving performance of inshore fish farming, and support for new technologies and industry practices. Chief Executive of New Zealand King Salmon, Grant Rosewarne, says the strategy is everything the industry has been hoping for.
We were looking to this government to address climate change and to support sustainable food production, and with this new strategy, that's exactly what they're doing.
So what does it mean for your business?
It means a huge amount. So we have 550 green jobs currently. We can be even more sustainable, more green when we go into the open ocean, and we can probably add 300 additional regional jobs to our company. So this is a game changer. The government said they were going to address this issue. They've taken their time. They've evaluated the situation. They've confirmed our green credentials, and we see this as a huge endorsement of what King Salmon is about.
That's the Chief Executive of King Salmon, Grant Worswall. He was talking to Nana Peltier. Well, the public and shareholders expect too much of auditors, who shouldn't be blamed for company failures and massive write-downs as seen at firms such as Fletcher Building and Fonterra. That's the view of the auditing professional body, Chartered Accountants of Australia and New Zealand. The country manager of CANS, Peter Viles, says there's a gap between what people expect from auditors and what they're actually paid to do.
When you say the bar is set too high, there is this audit expectation gap, which I alluded to before, where there are different perceptions of what an audit delivers, and some of them are quite a long way from what is the requirements under the standards for an audit to deliver. So there is an audit expectation gap. That's one aspect. Look, I can't comment on specific matters, but matters have been referred to us and we are looking into them, so I can't comment on those. But we have we do have faith in our process, and we work closely with the FMA, and the FMA is confident with our process and comfortable with our work. So we've complied with our obligations.
That's Peter Vile, who's the country manager of Chartered Accountants Australia and New Zealand. Time to catch up on the markets now. Wall Street, it was mildly negative as it waited for the Fed, and it's gone further downhill since the decision has come out, a quarter of a percentage point cut. So the Dow Jones Industrial Average currently down 135 points, 140 points, in fact, that's 0.5%. Dipped below the 27,000 level again. The broader S&P 500 is down about 0.2%, and the NASDAQ, the technology index, is down nearly 1%. Our own top 50 index back to its losing ways, falling 93 points yesterday. That's just under 1%. 10,775 is where it starts. The New Zealand dollar softer across the board as a result of that Fed cut that we've just been hearing about. 63.1 US cents, 92.5 Australian, 50.7 British pence, 0.573 euro, 68.5 yen, 4.49 yuan. Brent crude oil is down $1.25, that's 2%, $63.30 US a barrel. And gold up $6, that's just 0.5%, $1,508 US dollars an ounce. Another business news this morning, Sky Television says it's speaking to staff about a possible restructure which may affect some roles. A spokesperson for the company told us that change is inevitable. The company needs to move with the way of technology, so it's having honest conversations with its employees about what that would mean for its structure and their jobs. No hint yet as to how many jobs might be lost in such a restructuring, although it's suggested in some quarters it may be up to 200 affected. That's business for now.